Finding Christ in Cinema and the Great Commission Transmission Network is made possible by the support of listeners like you. To learn more and to partner with us, visit us at gctnetwork.com/donate.
Hey, all you movie buffs out there. I'm David Gaddy.
And I'm Jeremiah Orr.
Together we are
the Theonauts. And you're listening to Finding Christ in Cinema with your hosts, Michael and Brendan.
Right here at gctnetwork.com, your Great Commission Transmission.
On this episode of Finding Christ in Cinema, we race the Nazis for the Ark of the Covenant as we look for Christian themes in Raiders of the Lost Ark. What is it that helps Indy get over his fear of snakes and death? Why does Indy tell Marion to turn away from the glory of God? All that and more in 3, 2, 1. Come on in, admission is free, grab a bowl of popcorn, extra butter, of course, and find a seat smack dab in the middle. It's time for Finding Christ in Cinema, episode number 96. I'm Michael.
And I'm Brendan.
Join us and together we'll dig deeper into the silver screen classics of yesteryear, as well as the box office hits of today. We'll take a closer look at the stories they tell and see if we find the face of Jesus looking back. We're going to explore the deeper meanings of these films, their plots and their twists, the characters and their choices, and how we can relate them to the gospel of salvation, and ultimately our Christian walk. You are tuned in to Finding Christ in Cinema on the GCT Network.
This is your Great Commission Transmission.
Brendan, are you sick? Do you need the neti pot?
I need the neti pot.
I got the stuffy nose.
I got the stuffy nose. I can't breathe
or
out you, of it.
Or it was like Sarah Silverman kind of characterization.
Who? Oh, Sarah Silverman. Oh,
wasn't she the girl in Wreck-It Ralph?
I don't know.
The little Candy Crush girl that glitches out?
What's Wreck-It Ralph? I've never seen it.
Oh, my goodness. This is Finding Christ in Cinema. You can't be telling people that are listening that you haven't watched movies.
You know what else I haven't seen?
What?
Because I could really ruin your day.
Oh, no. Hey, first of all, what did we talk about last week?
I haven't seen Casablanca.
What? What? Shame on you.
So last week we talked about Man of Steel.
And you did see that.
I did see that. I had to.
Great film. And that was building up for, Easter weekend. And on Easter weekend, they released what?
Oh, Batman versus Superman.
Did you go and see that?
Bubba, did I?
Are we going to hear more about that later on in the show?
Yes, sir.
All right. But first of all, you want to get back to the last episode. Did you have anything that you wanted to add to or take away? Any addendumizations or anything?
No, I don't think so.
All right. Get over to ChristInCinema.com. Make sure that you listen to episode number 95, where we talked about the Superman film, the Zack Snyder Superman film, Man of Steel. And so did it lead right in, Batman versus Superman? Or? Oh,
right into it. We'll talk more about that later on.
What movie are we going to talk about today then?
Well, this week we're going a little back. We're going back just a little bit. Going to 1981.
Whoa!
With Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Oh, with FCC's very own?
Harrison Ford, baby.
You ready to go?
Yes, sir.
For nearly 3,000 years, man has searched for the lost Ark of the Covenant.
The Bible speaks of the Ark leveling mountains and laying waste to entire regions.
Not something to be taken lightly. No one knows its secrets.
Jones, do you realize what the Ark is? It's a transmitter. It's a radio for speaking to God.
An army which carries the Ark before it is invincible.
The Ark, if it is there, Atanis, then it is something that man was not meant to disturb.
It is protected by forces beyond imagination. It is desired above all treasures on Earth by those who are good, trust me, and those who are evil.
I tell you everything.
Yes, I know you will.
Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Let her go.
Hey, we have no time. If you still want the Ark, it has been loaded onto a truck for Cairo.
Raiders of
The Lost Ark. A film from Steven Spielberg and George Lucas.
Tell you, Brendan, this is one of the most important film. Oh, I did it wrong. This is one of the important, most important films of my entire lifetime.
First of all, you did it wrong, Lee, because that is an adverb. But well, continue on, sir.
Okay, man. Now I'm being. Now I don't want to do the show. Now I feel like I'm being critiqued.
Well,
hey, 1981.
Got to fix that, Aaron.
This
Brother,
is. I'm going to say it right now. For me, Steven Spielberg's greatest achievement of his career. Wow.
Man, I wasn't even alive when it came out.
I know. All the good things happened, well, after 1969. Right, John? John Wilkerson? It was after 1969?
60...
Thor? Oh, Nine. Raiders of the Lost Ark in a nice air-conditioned theater.
Oh.
Popcorn in hand. Southern California. Equals movie watching Nirvana. The theaters, you know, we don't talk much about theaters here except for when we are just in passing mentioning, oh, we're going to the Carmike up in Murfreesboro in order to watch a blockbuster because that is the place you want to go.
Well, I mean, there's the Capri too. I mean,
for a blockbuster film.
Sir, trust me, Batman versus Superman would have been equally fine at the Capri, and it was.
More on that later on, but I well, we'll see. We'll see. I'm going to...
No, me no way I've already seen. You'll see.
We had a theater in Orange, the city of Orange in Southern California, in Orange County, called Cinema Dome. Or, I'm sorry, Cinedome. And there is... I went... It's long defunct now. And it's funny because this came out of a conversation that I was having with patron Saint Ron of the Red Oaks. He messaged me the other day, says, I saw Batman versus Superman. He followed it up with a post of the theater that he went to, took the family to. Anyway, so I was waxing nostalgic as I'm sitting here watching Indiana Jones, well, the Raiders of the Lost Ark, Raiders of the Lost Ark. No Indiana Jones in the title of the very
well,
first
see,
film.
I didn't think there was, and even in the opening title credits, it just says Raiders of the Lost Ark. But if you go to somewhere like Google Play, they have it listed as Indiana Jones.
The definite article.
Yeah, they sure do.
Hey, so they do on IMDb as well. I wonder if that is something like how, same way as George Lucas went in after the fact and renamed all the Star Wars films.
Maybe so.
Yeah.
Maybe so.
A New Hope. That wasn't originally in the in the opening scroll, whatever they call that. Anyway, it was released June 12th of 1981. I was 11 years old and saw it at the Cinedome Theater, I'm pretty sure. That's where they showed all the 70mm films. The Cinedome was amazing, Brendan. I put a link in our show notes. You can actually go and take a look at it. Well, the demolition of this great theater.
Oh, man.
But the two main domes, they fit like over 800 people per theater.
Wow.
And it was theater seating. This place was first built in 1969. And the screen was curved.
Wow.
It was just like super duper experience. When you're sitting there in the seats, you know, because you're in a dome, the ceiling seemed like it was a million miles away.
Right.
This place was just gigantic, ginormous. It had rocking seats in it. And I mean, from 1969 on up, they destroyed it, I guess, in the early 2000s when the super cinemaplexes started coming into vogue. Mm-hmm.
16 theaters in one facility.
But man, this I saw the Back to the Future films here. I saw the Indiana Jones films here. I saw Star Wars films here. All the great films.
growing up was at the Cinedome. And this experience with Raiders of the Lost Ark for me was it's almost on the same level as Star Wars in terms of life altering.
In terms of what, Michael? There wasn't an echo there.
Life altering. Man, we haven't done that in years.
Well, things come around, don't they?
Eventually. And it was just absolutely captivating. But my buddy Jason Johnson messaged me today and says, I still think that this is the most exciting or action-packed film that I've ever seen. And I said, I'd have a hard time disagreeing with you there. Mm-hmm. I would liken it. This is the last thing that I wanted to say. I would liken my experience with with Raiders of the Lost Ark, that style of filmmaking, that action, that serial feel, mm-hmm. which is exactly what the Indiana Jones series was to be.
Yeah,
that old style. You go to the theaters every weekend to watch your movies that come out, but at the beginning they're going to show the serials, the mm-hmm. short 10, 11, 12 minute clips that run each week. You have to go back to see the next part. That's mm-hmm. the feeling that this was to evoke.
Right.
But I would liken it to the same feeling that I got watching Star Wars: The Force Awakens. It was just bigger than life and so much action, and you're caught up in all of it. But Indiana Jones is really a cultural icon.
Yeah, I'd agree.
You know, what can you remember back to your first experience with Indiana Jones?
not specifically.
You had to be very young.
I remember. Oh, yeah. I remember who it was, just a friend and. Second or third grade. He had a birthday party and it was Indiana Jones themed. Well, really Steven Spielberg, because he
did. You wear a fedora?
I did not.
You know what? You lost your opportunity.
You know, I've had this conversation with Trusted Intel, and a fedora is just not the hat for me.
I think it would be.
No, I feel like more like a derby hat.
Ooh. Yeah, hey.
Hey.
Yeah. Or a boater, straw hat. You might look, you yeah, look good in that yeah. too. Yeah. Okay. Let's See, get there, you a hat.
Hey, that'll be my, that could be my Virginia gift.
Okay.
But anyway, no, I just remember the birthday party. We all, are you okay?
No. That water came out. Continue.
I can't continue because you're over there coughing. We would just watch, you know, Indiana Jones, E.T., Steven Spielberg, you know, yeah. just anything. So that was fun.
Good and stuff. That's it. I mean,
that's
where,
it.
Were you?
I think he may have even had a bullwhip for like a birthday present
or two
or two. Yeah. Is that something you've done? Or
were you
just
intrigued by the storytelling?
Not really at a young age when I first saw it, because to me it was just, oh, another action hero.
How about now? Can you give us something positive about this film?
No, not really.
What?
Just kidding.
Oh,
just kidding.
Goodness.
Just kidding. No, I enjoy it now, and especially watching it this week. there was always like this stuff that I had always missed. And
can you think of anything off the top of your head? Or
Stuff that was pleasant. Like, for some reason, I never knew how it was that the dates got poisoned.
Okay.
For some reason, I had just always missed that. And then I'm like, oh, it's the guy who owned the monkey. That makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
And even the whole thing with the monkey. Like, you know, how does this monkey come into play? He's like, oh,
That's a really smart monkey.
He's with that guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
So that, and then I guess for some reason, I just never really understood why it was that the Nazis were looking out for the Ark.
Yeah.
But then, you know,
so things that are lost on a little kid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just, and now watching it back or watching it again now as an adult, I'm like, oh, that makes perfect sense.
Okay. Let's talk about performance. What about FCC's very own John Rhys-Davies as Sala?
As who?
Oh my gosh. What? Sala, Andy's buddy. Did you watch this film?
Yeah.
Did you see John Rhys-Davies in it?
I don't know.
Oh my goodness.
Wait a minute.
I'm going to have to edit this out.
No, 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 no. You mean his
Egyptian sidekick?
Yes. Okay.
Gimli.
Okay. I'm sorry. I was thinking of Pete, the enemy, the bad guy, the French guy. Sorry. Okay.
Beloche?
No. Beloche. Not Beloche. Okay. Yes. Yes. That was weird seeing him there
as a young man.
As a
young Welsh man.
A young formidable man.
Yes.
And not 3 feet tall.
Four and a half.
Oh, four and a half.
Five.
Oh, excuse me.
About
excuse
5 feet tall. Are dwarves.
Yes.
I really love his easygoing nature.
I like his camaraderie.
Yeah.
With what's his name? Oh, who's the main guy? Harrison Ford?
Yes.
Yeah. Wow. FCC's very own.
Did you see Dr. Octopus in this anywhere? Did you see Alfred Molina?
I did not see Alfred Molina. I saw his name on the titles, but I never saw him.
The very opening, he's the guy that's with Indy going in to get the idol, the golden idol. That is Alfred Molina.
Nuh-uh. Yeah. I was looking for him the whole movie.
Yep.
Man, that's stupid.
Yeah.
That is stupid.
It's pretty neato.
He should have been in there more. Where's he at?
That's it. He went in there, backstabbed Indy, and paid the ultimate price.
And then got stabbed in the back.
Yes. Okay. Well, let's find Beloche. That would be Paul Freeman.
Paul Freeman.
Yeah, that's as Dr. Rene Belloc. Awesome. Awesome. Yeah. You know the scene, and we're going to play some clips of it. And there's the fly buzzing around, and then all of a sudden, like it goes into his mouth. They edit it to make it look that flies were buzzing around, but they just took out a frame of the fly flying away, so really? It looked like it went into his mouth. Ew. and he swallowed it. But great acting performance.
Oh yeah.
Now
I was gonna say, he by the way is also in the Bible mini series.
Is he
that aired? He was Samuel.
Was he?
Yeah.
In the Bible TV series, just a few years ago.
The History Channel.
That is now available on Netflix.
Yeah.
To watch. I'm going to have to go and watch it then. I really enjoyed him. Now, here's something. Growing up, for some reason, I had little regard for Karen Allen as Marion Ravenwood. But as an adult, I can look and say, oh, she did a fantastic job as Marion. What sticks out about any of these performances to you? It's not a serious or a heavy.
See,
there's plenty of levity.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's the thing with this film. It's not so much character development, just because everything is such a fast.
We jump right into the middle of the action practically.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And like when we see Indiana Jones, we see him. We've seen him the first time. We've seen him through the whole movie.
Yeah.
We see Mary, and we've seen her through the old movie. It's and they're not really that deep, right. Or that kind of deep characters, but the action is so widespread that we do get to see them in different situations and how they would act.
Do you believe that we learn more about them as people as the film rolls on, or does it maintain that superficial level?
I think it stays superficial.
Do you?
Yeah. Hmm. That's just me, because like, and even when we do find out that there is some kind of history between Indy and Marion.
Yeah.
It's not that big of a shock. I mean, it's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You expected it. So, yeah. Oh yeah. That's supposed to be in the script.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Okay. And what about directing style? What did you think? I mean,
it's Steven Spielberg, baby.
Yeah. But he was a young man. You know, relatively speaking.
That is true.
I mean, he had done Close Encounters of the Third Kind, and he had done, what was E.T.? Oh, E.T., I believe, was the year after the previous year. But, you know, all kinds of things. He was already a renowned, a director of renown, yeah. I should say.
Yeah, there you go.
At this point. But 1981.
A director of renown.
Would you consider this good filmmaking?
I would, yes.
Why?
It was very visual.
Yes.
Very visually driven, kind of harkening back to the old the old studio produced movies where you have the big lot studio.
Big old Paramount, right? Oh, I mean, this was harkening back to the golden age, and it was supposed to, it was intended to. The whole feel of it.
And one thing, just even with the special effects, you know, we were talking about before the show, at the time, they were top notch.
Yes.
So, you know, looking back on them now when, you know, especially after, you know, movies like Man of Steel and Batman versus Superman, we see these special effects and think, oh, they're the top. And then we see something from 1981. It's like, oh, they could have done that better. Well, no, not really. They couldn't have.
They
that,
did it as good as they could.
That was the best.
Yep.
And even with that in mind, some of the imagery in this film, I really enjoy, even as a 26-year-old myself. Like, especially with the scene, which we're going to talk about, the scene where they open up the Ark.
Yes.
And then you see the
melting wax.
No, I'm not talking about that. No.
Oh, okay.
That just looked, I mean, come on.
Yeah. That deeply affected my wife as a very little girl.
Yeah, I bet it affected me. Even with Paul's part, with Renee's part, in this little, for a PG movie?
Yeah.
For a PG movie?
We've talked about that before.
I know.
Times have changed.
But it's when the fireball starts rising up out of the Ark, and then the lightning shoots off.
Yes.
And it hits everyone that's looking at it. And just the way the light, it shines on them, but then it kind of bends upward on
very
both sides.
Very supernatural.
Yes.
Very supernatural.
And it does the same thing when Indy is in the room. He's in the Well of Souls?
Yes.
Is that room? Or no, that's the map room.
Map room.
He's in the map room looking for the Well of Souls.
Yes, and when it lights up.
And when it lights up, that light just folds upward.
Yeah. I'm like, it's almost like it's following the inside of a bowl.
Yes.
Yes.
Conceptually speaking, that's really cool.
Yeah. Just and, like I said, it has a very supernatural, eerie feel to it. You look at it and say, that's weird. You know, that's impressive. That's not normal. Light doesn't do that.
Yeah.
Right.
Which actually, using words like supernatural and, you know, not normal and paranormal.
Yeah.
Yeah. Paranormal. Right. What do you think about this film's treatment of God?
Kind of treat more like a,
cause he is at a distance.
Yeah. Kind of like a,
like an old hokey religion.
No, but more like a, more like an alien type of a, like you know, I don't even know how to describe it. But it's not reverential or really even giving credence or allowing any notion of God being the one true God.
Right.
There's no reverence.
He's one of many.
Yes. There's nothing holy about the God in this movie.
He's about as holy as that statue that Indy picks up at
in
the beginning.
In fact, he could be very much like the poltergeists in Poltergeist. You know, mischievous and
oh yes.
And,
okay.
You know, yeah. It kind of gives me that
almost,
kind of a vibe.
Almost ill.
Oh yeah.
Ill wanting.
Yeah.
Ill with want or something. I don't know. Whatever that phrase is. It's one of those old-timey phrases. You should know it.
There we go. There we go. What is it? We're about 20 minutes, 22 minutes into it. Ageism. Ageism.
Not the first time. Have we talked about Harrison Ford?
What? FCC's? You mean? FCC. I'm sorry.
Have we talked about FCC's very own Harrison Ford
this
yet?
This is where, for me, he really bloomed.
Mm-hmm. Well, because in the Star Wars, he wasn't the central focus.
Right.
And he's got the charisma to be the central focus.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, obviously.
Yeah.
I mean, what needs to be said? He's Indiana Jones. In fact, that's why they are making Indiana Jones number 5 with Harrison Ford.
What?
Oh, yeah. That was just announced the other day. He's Harrison Ford. He's Han Solo. He is a. This is a man that he takes a role. I mean, he's what was the name of his guy in... do androids dream of electric sheep? Blade Runner, the original book. The book. Do androids dream of electric sheep?
I had no idea.
What was his name in there? Decker.
Oh, something? David Gaddy's in the chat room.
Ah, there you go.
Ill-willed. Yes, that's what I meant. Yes.
He's a fantastic actor. He's able to embody characters, is really what I'm trying to say. Please don't play this video right now that I accidentally clicked on. Thank you.
Hey.
Rick Deckard was his character in Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep? I'm sorry, Blade Runner. Blade Runner. Sorry, David. That's one of David's very favorite films. You know, other than that, what other shout-outs really need to be given on this film? I think we covered that pretty well.
Yeah.
Do you have anything else that you want to add? Mm-mm. Hey, one real quick piece of trivia. The scene, the famous scene in which Indy shoots that sword-wielding...
Yes.
Arabian guy?
I believe I've heard this, but
apparently that wasn't in the original script. Yeah. But there was a problem going on the set at this point in time, and everybody got food poisoning. And Harrison Ford was in a bad way. It was probably, may even have been worse than the Millennium Falcon door falling on his foot and breaking it.
Oh.
And so he was just, he was supposed to take out his whip and get the sword from the guy, but he didn't have the energy. Hey, I got a better idea. Shoot it. You know.
But now it's like an icon.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Now, this was in Tunisia. And again, nearly every one of the cast and crew got sick except for Steven Spielberg. Mm. And it's thought that he avoided the illness by eating only the food he'd brought with him, which was cans and cans of SpaghettiOs. Hey, do you want some of this? Nope, I got my own food.
Thank you.
Scooping it out. You can hear the spoon in the, like, in the can.
I got it.
Dink, 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 dink. Brendan, I had a hard time with this film. I don't know about you.
I did, just a little bit. Well, and that's because, like we said, it's the superficiality of the characters.
It was really just a good time, old-timey throwback. And the story, for me, didn't lend much in way of pulling out Christian themes. But I think I have one. I think I have something that you can use when you are sitting on your
double-decker couch
with the rumored new Indiana Jones there.
Hey.
Oh, I would love to see Chris Pratt as Indiana Jones.
Hey.
I really would, but he says no. But we know how those people in Hollywood. There was a great story about Chris Pratt over the Easter weekend, and people go and look that up. It has to do with erecting a cross.
Yes.
Did you see that? I love Chris Pratt. All right.
There you go.
Indiana Jones has a he's a good picture of a Christian. Okay, being perfected in God's perfect love, and so this is almost like a throwback to our Back to the Future trilogy,
our Marty McFly series.
Yes, watching a Christian progress,
Marty Eyebrows McFly.
Right, but now in this particular episode, he's going to do it. He is not going to need three movies. I'm sorry, this particular installment. Then quit doing your eyebrows.
Sorry.
Okay. That was good, though.
This is heavy dog.
If you're not watching on the video, Brendan is pulling off a mean Marty McFly and eyebrows over there. So here's the deal. Fear is natural.
Yeah.
Okay. How often are we told by Christians, well-meaning Christians, you know, that, oh, you know, fear, you know, that shows that you don't trust God, things like that. Fear is a natural response. So we have to make sure that we're talking about the right kind of fear when we go telling people, oh, if you worry and you have and you're afraid of something, you're not trusting God. Tread lightly before you. In fact, don't say that to people.
Oh,
okay, because there's a good chance that you're wrong. Okay.
But Michael, what is the beginning of wisdom?
Oh, well, the fear of the Lord. Oh. Okay. However, you know, when we try and correct somebody out of fear, it's because they're nervous over the future. What happened? Oh, something's happening at the job, or something's happening in a relationship, or whatever. And we'll tell people, don't fear; it's in God's hands. But fear is a natural response. But it's what you do with that fear. It's what you do. Indy has natural fears that he must master in the pursuit of his prize. He's looking for a prize. And in that pursuit, these fears arise, and he has to overcome them. What's his fear?
Snakes.
There's a big snake in the plane, Jack! Oh, that's just my pet snake, Reggie! I hate snakes, Jack! I hate them!
Come on, show a little backbone, will ya?
He just survived certain death. And fought an army of, you know, Have a little backbone. Yeah. It's just a snake. He hates snakes. We find out why he hates snakes later on in the series. Or actually, earlier on in the series. I don't know. It's all time travel. Timey-wimey.
Wibbly-wobbly.
Wibbly-wobbly, timey-wimey stuff. Okay.
Not a Whovian, by the way.
Okay, so in this one case, he does not want to be sitting on a plane with a big python in his lap. Okay, who does?
Who would?
Yeah, not many people do, but no, it's more than that. And we find it later on when they get to, he's already been to the map room and they found the Whale of Souls. Is that where the Ark is? Mm-hmm. That's the name of the place where the Ark is kept. And, they have surmounted great odds to get to this point. And here they go. They're going down into the Whale of Souls in order to get the prize.
Why does the floor move?
Give me your torch. Snakes.
Asps. Very dangerous. You go first.
You go first.
Come on, Gimli.
They're asps. Yeah, Gimli, he didn't have his axe.
What are you doing?
Give him his axe and he'll go right down there.
And, shorten him up a little bit.
Yes. He would multiply the snakes with his axe.
There you go.
So we know Indy's fears, and it's a real fear. It's a fear he can't control. Oh, come on, have a little backbone. Can't control that, but he can overcome it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Very important thing because... Oh, sorry, very important. He fears snakes, but even more, he fears death.
Yeah.
And he sacrifices all of this for his love of Marion that is being perfected as the story unfolds. And it's that pursuit of Marion that ultimately drives out or expels his fears. We find that when he is able to, they have taken Marion from him, Belloc, and the Nazis, and they have the Ark. He has nothing. He's going after them in order to get his prize.
Jones? Jones!
I'm going to blow up the Ark, Renee.
Your persistence surprises even me. You're going to give mercenaries a bad name. Dr. Jones? Surely you don't think you can escape from this island.
It depends on how reasonable we're all willing to be. All I want is the girl.
All I want is the girl.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we know he hates snakes. He's going after the Ark. It's in the soul of the Whale of Souls. There's snakes down in there, but he's got to go down because he needs the Ark. That's what he's there for. But then when they come and throw Marion in there, then his focus shifts.
Mm-hmm.
And those snakes are a whole lot easier to fend off as he is protecting Marion and trying to preserve her. And he will get them out of there. We know what happens.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's Indiana Jones.
That's right.
And because he has this, he hates snakes. A deathly fear of them. Why did it have to be snakes? You can't tell him don't fear those things. You don't have to tell him not to, because he's overcoming that fear for his prize. And we find out that his ultimate prize is Marion. Mm-hmm. Now, in this interchange, surely somebody's going to point out, Brendan, well, Michael, you're wrong, because they give him clear, opportunity to blow up the Ark, and he won't do it because he's still after the Ark. we're talking about a man that's being perfected in his walk.
Yeah.
Okay. And this is a parable of the Christian walk.
That, that well, he's in the process of
being sanctified. Yeah. And, right.
Oh yeah.
And so, but we go on and we find out that he is going to sacrifice all in for Marion. That's what it comes down to. His perfected love for her is driving out all fears. It's so much so that now Belloc is pretending to be a Jewish high priest. He has no business doing any of this. Mm-hmm. And you got these Nazis around.
Yeah.
Okay. And they arrogantly open the ark. Absolute arrogance and pride. Andy knows this is not going to be good. And he has a word of warning for Marion.
Marion, don't look at it. Shut your eyes, Marion. Don't look at it, no matter what happens.
No matter what, keep your eyes closed, and chances are this is going to preserve us. Mm-hmm. This is going to save us through this. This is going to save us through death, but he's still willing to die. He's not sitting there bemoaning, oh, I don't want to die, I don't want to die. No, he faces his fears, mm-hmm. right, and overcomes them and expels them. This is just a real simple point that I'm pulling out from this story. So his fear of snakes and his fear of death, yes, but he sacrifices all for his perfected love of Marion, just like Jesus did for us. Sacrifices everything for his perfect love for us. Ultimately, our Christ-like perfect love allows us to drive out, expel, and overcome our fears, and to lay hold of the promised prize, the crown of life. See, in Indiana Jones's case, because he knows, keep his eyes closed, persevere through this fear, mm-hmm. there's life on the other side, and he lives, and Marion lives. Right? Everybody else there dies. This reminds me of a passage in Revelation chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. I'm going to read out of the Amplified Bible. Brendan, I can't remember what church Jesus is having John write to right now. To Smyrna, the church of Smyrna. To the angel of the church in Smyrna write, you know. The first. Well, let me just skip down to verse 9. You guys go and read this in context. Jesus says, I know your affliction and distress and pressing trouble in your and your poverty, but you are rich, and how you are abused and reviled and slandered by those who say they are Jews and are not, Indy, but they are a synagogue of Satan. That's where Indiana Jones is finding himself right here. Listen to that again. Mm. Your affliction and distress and pressing trouble. He's gone through that the entire movie.
Yeah.
Your poverty, but you are rich. He is rich. He's a rich man because he has Marion and he has Sala and he has Dr. Brody and he, mm-hmm. you know, he's a rich man, but, you know, he's also abused by these Nazis and by, well, Belloc has been abusing him since he came and stole the golden idol out of his hand.
It, right. Just like he always says, yes. What you have, I'm here to take away.
Yes. And reviled and slandered by those who say they are Jews and are not. What is Belloc doing right now? He's masquerading as a Jewish high priest.
And he's not.
He's not. He's a synagogue of, they're a synagogue of Satan. You talk about the Nazis and you know, Belloc here. Jesus goes on, fear nothing that you are about to suffer. In other words, as the Amplified Bible clarifies, dismiss your dread and your fears. Dismiss them. Behold, the devil is indeed about to throw some of you in prison that you may be tested and proved and critically appraised. And for 10 days, you will have affliction. Be loyally faithful unto death, even if you must die for it. And I will give you the crown of life. This verse just really, you know, obviously I'm taking great liberties, mm-hmm. but the story that Indiana Jones has gone through and Marion has gone through is really encapsulated in this,
yeah.
in these two verses. See, we Indiana Jones lived at the end because his perfect love drove out his fear of death. I don't fear death as much as I fear something bad happening to Marion.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody other, somebody outside of myself. He's sacrificing himself for others. We live eternally as believers, Brendan, because when we live loyally, faithful lives, even unto death, right? Then death, death as this world defines it, is different because as Christians, we will never die. Yeah, one day in this lifetime, we're going to close our eyes, we're going to breathe our last. But that's this mortal body because immediately we open up our eyes on the other side. Face to face with the one who created us. We aren't going to die as believers. And that's good news. Okay?
That is the good news.
That is the good news. It reminds me of John chapter 4, verses 17 through 19, out of the NILT. And as we live in God, our love grows more perfect. So we will not be afraid on the day of judgment, but we can face him with confidence because we live like Jesus here in this world. That's pretty simple. Such love has no fear because perfect love expels all fears. If we are afraid, it is for fear of punishment. And this shows that we have not fully experienced his perfect love. We love each other because he loved us first. And I just want to use my key verse out of that. So when you are sitting on your
double-decker couch
with your friends or loved ones watching Raiders of the Lost Ark, remember 1 John 4:18, and out of the New English Transmission Network, out of the New English Transmission Network, it says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears punishment has not been perfected in love. And that's really the quick overview of a point that you can pull out of Raiders of the Lost Ark in order to share the good news that Jesus has laid up for us, a crown of life. Crown of life. Do you have any questions, comments, piggybacks, editorials, off-the-wall remarks regarding my point?
No, I think you got it.
Okay, good. Hey, the kids like that.
Oh, good. I want to thank you, children.
Yes.
Thank you. I want to go back to, you know, this idea of this film being a progress, a journey for Indy being perfected, and how it can relate to a Christian being perfected. See, Indy is prideful.
Yes. Yes.
And he,
aren't we all?
Well, yes, exactly. Aren't we all? That's why maybe we can relate to him.
Yeah.
We can identify with Indiana Jones. He's prideful, and
well, I do wear fedoras.
Well, he doesn't wear a fedora.
He wears a fedora.
It's not a fedora.
It is absolutely a fedora.
No, it's not.
Oh my goodness,
Michael, where's a picture of your hat collection? I know you have one in here.
Oh my goodness.
Anyway, Indiana Jones.
It's a fedora.
It's not a fedora.
It is
Indiana Jones
who wears a fedora.
Is a prideful guy. He's the rambunctious rouser, yeah. the rabble rouser. He goes for the girl. He has his girl, Marion. He likes to go on these adventures. He's collecting stuff for the museum, but you know he likes the thrill of it too.
Well, yeah,
and he likes the authority that it gives him.
Hey, he likes students, young ladies in his classes writing "I love you" on their eyelids.
Oh, that
right?
was so creepy. That was so creepy. But I mean, that's just part of his human nature. He likes that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But as we go along in this process, and let's go back to the scene where the Nazis are marching the Ark to this testing site, where they're gonna, you know, open it just to make sure it's okay. And he stops them with the bazooka, or with the rocket, whatever that thing is.
Yeah, bazooka. Rocket launcher.
Yeah. Yeah. He stops them with that, and he is ready. Like you said, he's ready to die if it means saving Marion. He's ready to put aside the Ark if it means saving Marion. All he wants is the girl. But Renee comes back with something that appeals
to Indy's pride.
Okay, Jones. You win. Blow it up.
Zurück! 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 Yes, blow it up! Blow it back to God. All your life has been spent in pursuit of archaeological relics. Inside the Ark are treasures beyond your wildest aspirations. You want to see it open as well as I. Indiana, we are simply passing through history. This is history. Do as you will.
He does. Mm. He does appeal to his pride, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does. He really does. He says, look, you spent your whole life. See, all your life has been spent in pursuit of archaeological relics. Inside the Ark are treasures beyond your wildest aspirations. This is what Indy's been wanting his whole life, or something like it.
Yeah.
You know, he wants the big...
The find.
Yes, exactly. One that will mark himself down in the history books.
Yeah.
So, of course, he doesn't blow up the Ark. He caters to his pride just a little bit. Now, this part could be arguable. Does he not blow up the Ark because he genuinely does want to see what's inside the Ark? Or does he not blow it up because he realizes that might also kill Marion?
I don't know. I mean, I would like it to be.
Yeah, I know we'd both like it to be, though, you know, it's a nonsensical idea to use
a bazooka. This wasn't a good idea to begin with.
Yeah, yeah. But he had to have some show of force to make his point.
Yes.
Either way, whatever the reason, they go up to the testing site, to the opening site, if you will. They go up there, Indy and Mary, and they're tied up to the light pole. But something within Indy tells him, look, this isn't such a good idea to even look. And who's to say this isn't for us. This isn't for us. And if anything, if you think back to the Jewish ceremony that went around the Ark, the cleansing that you had to do, that you yourself, if you were the high priest, you had to be clean. Mm-hmm. Ritualistically speaking, you had to be clean. Mm-hmm. You could not have, you know, any number of the Levitical laws that are set.
Can't miss a step.
You can't miss one single step, because if you did, your face is going to melt off like wax.
Well, yeah.
That's biblically accurate.
Madame Trudeau's.
Yeah, exactly. No, Madame Trousseau's.
Oh, okay. I thought it was a D. Sorry.
I don't know. Either way.
Madame T.
Yeah. Good old Madame Sweet Tea.
Yeah, she used to wrestle with Mr. T. Or Box. No, he was in WWF.
Oh, yeah.
No.
Anyway, yes, Andy, something within him tells him, look, I've studied this stuff enough to know that maybe this isn't something that we should actually pay attention. We should just close our eyes. And like you've already played, but in the next clip, you really hear it.
I wonder if that was supposed to be the angel of death. It's beautiful, is what Rene Belloc said.
Right before it turned into a skeleton.
Yeah.
I don't know, man.
Yeah.
I don't know. I would have to ask the designers about that one.
Yeah.
But either way, we see what happens. The spirit attacks the whole camp. Whatever it is, or whatever they, or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
Which last time I read the Bible, that wasn't in the Ark of the Covenant. But
no,
it was just
like some tablets and a bowl of some bread, manna, a rod that budded.
Yeah.
Nothing about no spirit, like alien spirits.
But either way,
with face melting powers.
Either way,
yeah.
If you want a good face melting, you listen to an Eric Clapton guitar solo. Am I right?
Where's my crickets?
Either way,
yeah.
Either way, Indy knows what's up, and he tells Marion, "Look, don't look. And it goes to this point that I find in your favorite book, Michael, arguably the best book of the Bible.
Isaiah.
Yes. Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9, out of the Ezv.
Yes.
Out of the Ezv.
Ezv.
For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts.
Very famous passage.
This is God saying, hey, look, you have to be content in not knowing if you're going to follow me.
Yeah.
You have to be content. There are some things, and yes, in the same Bible, Michael, there's the passage that says, it is the glory of God to conceal a thing, but the honor of kings is to search out a matter. That's in the same Bible. Hmm. But then we do all this searching like Indiana's done. We eventually come to a point where we have to recognize God's superiority. Superiority.
Isn't that what Job had to learn?
Yeah. He learned it
the hard way.
The hard way, a lot more difficultly than Indiana Jones does. But yeah, he had to learn. He had to learn that limit. So, and that's honestly just part of the Christian walk, because you will come to either fellow believers or non-believers who say, well, if God's so good, this is my favorite one.
Yeah.
If God's so good, why does he allow pain and suffering?
Oh, maybe that ties into a little bit of your well-mannered frivolity.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe. But just
quite what Lex Luthor asked.
Ooh, Lex. But or you get the question, well, I really don't think dinosaurs and humans existed at the same. Can you really prove that the Earth was created in a week? Ga. There's just stuff that we're not going to know. But part of being a Christian is having faith in God and not letting that fear of not knowing. Not letting that fear of not knowing get you down.
Yes. Cast it out.
Yeah.
Overcome that fear.
Mm-hmm.
Overcome that fear. How?
Through love. Love.
Yeah.
Through love.
Through perfected love. See, as long as we're working on our loving, because that's hard. You know, I wish that the New Testament was like the Old Testament, where it said, okay, do this, and then this, and then this, and then this. Don't skip any of these steps. Here they are. They're laid out for you. Why didn't he do that first? Well, he gave us something a little bit more difficult. Love.
Mm-hmm.
Love. Perfect that love. Good points. Yeah. My thoughts are not your thoughts. And it really does go also to Isaiah and the potter and the clay, right?
Yeah. Like, look, who am I to know what God's actually thinking?
And really, let's be realistic here. Let's be honest. Let's just boil it down to brass tacks. Would you really want to be able to outthink God? What kind of God is that?
I know what kind of God it would be. It would be a weak God.
No, it would be a God that you created in your own image.
Yeah, that too.
Ha! But I created you. I can beat you. You know, that's.
I was going to say, I wouldn't want that burden.
But seeing, right. Contained in Isaiah 55, 8, and 9 is a whole lot more than just the words that it says. Mm. Because there's a comfort in that as well. And that is the comfort that Indiana Jones found tied to that pole. Just close your eyes. This isn't for us. Close your eyes. Don't look at it no matter what. Everything will be fine.
It's not God like getting mad and chastising you for asking certain questions. That's just his answer. He's like, look, come on. Come on. Trust me.
You can't understand this.
Yeah.
Great points. Anything else?
No, I think we got them.
Yeah, this is a movie that, it was just well-mannered frivolity. Not our well-mannered frivolity. We'll get to that in just a moment. But so it made it a little bit more difficult to pull out some of these themes. But these are two great themes that you can focus on and meditate on. Mm-hmm. And so if you have found Christian themes in Raiders of the Lost Ark that we missed, let us know. We'll give you all the ways to contact us here at the end of the show.
Hey.
La la la, la la la.
before that, we have... Before that, after that, we have some... Well, right now, we have some feedback.
Sometime.
Down to, and as we are wont to do, oh. Grab the coconuts, because we are going to... I don't know.
Being me has its privileges.
Yes! Patron St. Philip. He has all the privileges here on Finding Christ in Cinema. Patron St. Philip is going to take us down to King Philip's Stables. He left a comment on episode number 95 of Finding Christ in Cinema, Man of Steel, which you can find at ChristInCinema.com.
He says, hey guys, good episode on Man of Steel. It is definitely a film replete with Christian themes and imagery.
Amen!
But... a worthwhile subject for sure.
Yes, yes. A whole lot easier than Raiders.
Yeah.
Or The Shining. Oh.
What was that other movie? That was pretty much it.
No, Noah.
Oh, yeah.
Woo wee.
Oh, man.
Midrash.
Oh, get some ointment. I loved it the first time I saw it, Philip continues, and it holds up well upon the second viewing. I agree that it could stand to have about 15 to 20 minutes of action sequences edited out to tighten up its runtime. It seems to go on a bit too long for me.
Did they do that in Batman v Superman?
Well, it depends on who you ask.
Yeah.
See, me.
Okay, I already know my answer.
Interjection. Me, I personally don't mind it. I didn't mind it in Man of Steel, and I don't mind it in Batman v Superman because it's thematically driven. But that's just me.
Okay.
That's just what I saw in it.
Yeah.
Back to Patron St. Phillips.
Please.
Feedback. Yes. Yes. Hans Zimmer's score is great, although it's not the sort I like to listen to on its own, like Gladiators, which is one of my favorites.
It is a good one.
Also done by Zimmer. Michael Shannon is a great actor. Amen. That was me. And if you ever get a chance to see Take Shelter, he and Jessica Chastain do some awesome work in that indie film.
Jessica Chastain, that's FCC's very own, isn't it?
Sure is.
Interstellar and Martian.
The Martian. Okay. Yeah.
Our two famous space movies.
Yeah. One thing that I get from Man of Steel is Superman being a servant leader. And not lording his power over the Earth.
Does that continue?
Yeah, it continues, baby.
Oh,
man. Like Jesus, Superman could have basked in his own power and indulged himself in numerous ways. Instead, he chose to obey his father's wishes and keep his power
hidden.
That
would be his father, Tatanka.
Tatanka.
Yes.
No.
Come on, little John.
No, L or Cal. Or Clark. Whatever.
No, he did great in this film.
Yeah,
okay, go. So, Jonathan Kent. His father, Jonathan Kent's wishes.
And keep his power hidden and restrained until the time was right. He used that power to help others, to help and serve others, when he easily could have been hedonistic. And Michael, what is hedonistic?
Living for the flesh.
Eat,
drink, and be merry.
Seeking out the pleasures of life. Yes. Mark 10.
Epicurean.
Yeah, hey, there you go. Mark 10:45 out of the NET says, however, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many.
Is it bad that every time, I'm sorry, here's a confession. Okay, I'm confessing my sins one to another here. Every time that verse comes up, I do think of the Twilight Zone episode.
Stop! To serve man. It's a cookbook!
It's a cookbook! I'm sorry. I blame Rod Serling, and I'm doing my best to cast that out. Okay, continue.
Like Captain America.
I do.
Superman.
Oh, I thought that was a command.
Like Captain America, Superman is a refreshing callback to heroes who have their act together.
Yeah.
And a nice change of pace from the anti-heroes and deeply flawed protagonists that are now the norm.
Amen.
Batman.
Batman. Does he say that?
No, he doesn't. I like this movie quite a bit and look forward to Dawn of Justice to see this version of Superman's progression.
I'm wondering who turns out to be Dawn.
Well, it's Gal Gadot.
No, she's Wonder Woman. Who's going to be Dawn?
No, Dawn Prince.
From the Planet of the Apes.
No, Dawn Prince. That's her.
Oh.
Wonder Woman.
Diana.
No, it's not. It's Diana. Yes, I know.
I'm telling you. It's a lady from Planet of the Apes.
Dawn of the Planet of the Apes.
Yes.
Since you're curious, Michael... We ask and we shall receive.
Oh, okay.
Since you're curious, I actually work as a mailman.
Awesome!
Which gives me plenty of time to listen to podcasts and audiobooks during my workday.
I'm jealous.
I love stories in their various forms, especially books, films, TVs. Since I'm typically worn out when I'm home from work, I usually don't have the energy to do much more than watch stuff with my family. Which leads me to a possible idea I have for a special episode.
Oh, okay. Michael. Okay. Yes?
If the topic can be discussed long enough to do so, which, believe me.
Yes.
And that is story. Its importance.
Oh, you said it wrong.
Lee. Said it wrong. Lee. It's an adverb.
No, you said it wrong, Brendan.
And that is story. Its importance. How we seem hardwired by God to be interested and captivated by storytelling. Mm. And how it can educate and influence us.
Yes.
J-Dog hit it on his review when he said that Jesus spoke in parables and you guys speak in movies. I'm 44, and older generations, especially in the church, seem prone to dismissing film, especially TV, as waste of time and somehow invalid. I can't help but wonder if those same people would not approve of a family reading a book together and discussing it. And that is not what we do with TV and film. And is that not what we do with TV and film when we watch and talk about them together? The power of story is a fascinating topic to me. What do you guys think about it?
It's funny, you know, Phil, when we first started doing special episodes, I think right at the very beginning, so episode number 14 or so, we can check the timestamp. We have a file in our Google Docs, Brendan, for a special episode on storytelling, on story.
On the craft.
The craft of story. And this is something that, okay, so this is why you tweeted out that Philip has read our mind.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, yes, yes.
Love the show, guys. Keep up the good work. Hashtag
MoviLadGimlet. But wait, there's more.
I was about to say.
He sends a second email or a comment on the website.
He says, oh, yeah, and now that Kevin Costner is no longer bald, emoji.
Yeah, smiley face.
Semicolon, smiley face.
Oh, no, winking.
How about Field of Dreams? He's really good in that, and it has some good themes in it. It's a sports film, so you don't need to be a sports fan to enjoy.
It's a sports film you don't need to be a sports fan to enjoy.
You don't need a sports fan to enjoy. Is that what I said?
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, well, thanks for the suggestion. I don't know if Kevin Costner has worked his way back in that well yet, has he?
Tatanka.
All that we can say to you, Patron St. Philip.
Tatanka.
Is, come on, Little John. No, that wasn't what I meant. All that we can say is stay tuned.
Yeah, stay tuned.
Stay tuned. Yeah. Yeah, that's all.
We got a little curveball ready for you.
We got. Speaking of sports,
what's the well-mannered frivolity?
There we go.
Well-mannered frivolity.
Michael,
yes.
Batman versus Superman.
Did you see it?
Yeah.
And
oh, Michael, it is so.
No, spoilers. Spoilers. I haven't seen it.
I'm gonna try my hardest.
I'm hoping to see it Saturday.
Oh man. One thing, well, we've already talked about it.
Yeah.
This portrayal of Batman.
Zack Snyder knows these characters better than the originators of the characters.
Apparently so.
Yes.
Can I just go ahead and say the word?
Okay.
This Batman is a little bloodthirsty. Which is not part of Batman. It's just not.
He does things that Batman has never done before in the history of DC Comics, Batman, The Dark Knight, Batman and Robin, any of the iterations of the comic books. That I'm aware of. I don't know. Maybe there's a special graphic.
No, there's not.
Okay.
Well, I don't know the graphic novels.
Yeah.
So I couldn't answer that question for you. But in the films, in the film iterations, no.
For most common knowledge, and even people that are geeky, would be surprised by some of the actions, would they not? What are you counting?
I'm thinking. This is how I think.
Oh, that's how you do that?
I guess. I don't know.
Here's the church.
That being said, though.
Yes.
Ben Affleck as Batman.
Batfleck?
Michael.
Yeah?
I
already told you.
You are going to be in for a treat.
Okay, I already told you just from the previews. I called it best Batman ever.
Mm-hmm.
As far as...
You...
Huh.
I don't know. I just don't know if I want to say that you're right. Because I seriously
think... I know, because you don't rank things.
No, it's not that. It's just because I really enjoy Christian Bale.
Well, so do I.
So I don't... I just personally don't know if I would compare the two.
Batman. Where is he?
Alfred.
Does Batfleck do that?
A little bit.
Okay, good.
A little bit.
Good. Got to carry on the tradition.
Yeah, yeah.
But I bet you Christopher Nolan called up Zach, says, Zach, you got to keep
actually,
in.
Actually, believe it or not, yes. Nolan was a producer.
Oh, well, that makes sense because he was a producer on Man of Steel.
Yeah, well, there you go.
How interesting. Okay, yeah. So we know that the Dark Knight series took a turn for dark. Dark! You know, that was their intent. Christopher Nolan, let's take the brooding and dark and psychological and all that stuff. Does this lighten up the tone a little bit?
Certainly not. Certainly not.
Does it do the opposite?
Yes.
Wow.
It's,
okay,
man.
just tell me. Don't tell me anything about the characterization. Am I going to enjoy Jesse Eisenberg?
Michael.
What?
Yes. Okay, Mike, I don't know about you.
Yes.
But I love a good villain.
Oh, yeah. You got to have a good villain.
Yeah. And, Michael, it's despicable.
Huh. Oh, man. Just no shame?
Jesse Eisenberg plays it very well. The way the character is written, yeah. Michael.
Hmm.
Oh, man.
Okay, let me ask you this. Because, if you go on Rotten Tomato, all the critics are panning this movie.
Oh, I'm sure they are.
I mean, saying, and here's what they say. Basically, it comes down to this. What a mess of a story. Where's the story in this? Now, you as a storyteller.
See,
getting back to Patron Saint Philip's comment.
Michael, I'm sorry, but the story is there.
Yeah.
It's there if you pay attention.
Okay, so you actually have to know what a story actually is in order to be able to determine if
lean in and actually pay attention to the movie, because it's there.
Yeah.
You want to talk about dramatic conflict? It is there. It is there. You've got
the deeper things?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, of course. Which irks me.
And we've talked about this a little bit before, and this does kind of piggyback on Philip's comment, but storytelling is a craft, and there is actually, there's a skeleton that you can see, right? That's like, here's the skeleton of storytelling. You need to incorporate these things. What was it Aristotle that had
the six elements of tragedy.
Okay.
And don't get me wrong. When Aristotle used the word tragedy, he meant what we now today call drama.
Yes.
So just anything dramatic.
Okay.
He meant that.
Okay.
So
and so really there is
you've got the backbone of the plot.
Yes.
And then you've got the characters that support it. Then you've got the thoughts of the characters as they pertain to not only the whole arc story, but to each scene that they're in. And then from those thoughts come their words. So there is like a little paradigm.
A formula.
I wouldn't say formula, but common threads.
Okay.
Of what seems to be most important, going down to the what's least important.
Okay.
Important. Okay. Important.
What's least important? Like 45 minutes of nonstop action?
Spectacle.
Yeah. I forgot. Spectacle. Yeah,
spectacle.
Yes. Okay.
Which, and again, you know, we'll talk about this more on whenever we do that episode.
Yeah.
But. Though those things, even though they are listed in that order, Aristotle was not writing them as a prescription.
Right.
He was not saying, look, this is how it's done. He's saying, these are the stories that are being told in my generation.
And here's the good things that you find in them.
Yes. Here's what I'm seeing. Start looking for it yourself.
I recommend you use these in your stories if you would like to have success.
But Michael, you will not be disappointed. Yes, unfortunately, Batman is a little bloodthirsty. but the dramatic tension between Superman and Batman, it's there. It's
all right. All right. Well, Lord willing, we'll be there on Saturday at the Carmike Theaters in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. Okay. We're doing great on time. Let's wrap this up. I want a nice short show.
Okay, good.
Okay. Go.
Oh.
What's next? I have nothing.
Oh, yeah.
I have something? I told you about something, but I don't know what it was.
I can't remember either.
Oh, well, I'm reading a new book.
Oh, yeah, you shared on Facebook.
Yes, and I'm reading Finding God in Lord of the Rings.
Hey, like you haven't been doing that your whole life.
Yes, but this is for a little project that's coming up.
A little pet project.
Just a little thing coming up. Stay tuned for that.
Prayers for this weekend. I'm chaperoning another Motlow trip.
Are ya?
We're going to Clarksville.
Okay. Take the last train to Clarksville, and Bubba, I'll meet you at the station.
We're taking two club wagons and a minivan.
One for the monkeys, and one for everybody else.
The student. Oh, we're going to have a luggage van, too. Or a luggage van.
Yeah, well, for the band equipment.
Luggage van.
The monkeys.
The man van. Yes.
Okay.
In Clarksville at Austin Peay University, there's this, the TCHC, the Tennessee Consortium of Honors College, where a bunch of Honors Club students gather and present their projects.
Okay.
It's very cool.
Like what kind of projects? Like volcanoes?
Well, no.
Solar systems?
Actually, Michael, you'll like this one.
What?
Last year, there was a girl from, I think, Christian Brothers University.
Ipanema?
Out of Memphis. No.
Oh, okay. No. I thought it was the girl from Ipanema.
No.
I'm sorry.
No. And she...
That's an old school thing.
I know. Okay. I get it. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Timey-wimey, wibbly-wobbly, ageist. Yeah. She gave the presentation as a witch from the Harry Potter world. And the presentation was on, quote, Muggle sciences.
Huh.
And Muggle science and technology.
Huh.
And how it is quickly catching up to wizarding advances.
Whoa.
That's neat. That was her presentation.
Huh.
There was actually some biblically centered
good
conversation, like the purpose of Levitical law, and how we as Christians should view Levitical law.
Okay.
even though it was given to the Jewish people.
Let's not dive any deeper into that right now.
I think you would agree, Michael. I think you would agree.
Okay,
but it's just interesting stuff like that, and then. You know, well, I know you stuff about eschatology, but who wants that anymore? But it was some interesting topics. I mean, you know, they're college kids. They're not, you know, all the way perfect, but they were very fascinating.
They're being perfected.
Hey, there you go.
They're being sanctified.
There you go.
Yeah, that's the Christian walk right there.
There you go.
You know, there's a good assignment for each of us as Christians, just to be looking around us and seeing analogies, parables, similitudes to the Christian walk, how we are being sanctified. Maybe that will also give us a better attitude of grace towards those who have not reached the point that we have. And maybe it will also push us to attach ourselves to those who have proceeded further than us.
Mm-hmm.
Say, hey, take me along with you. Ah, good little... There you go. That's my lightning round. Do you want to do a lightning round?
Yeah, I have one.
All right. The lightning round!
So, I can't remember when it was.
Me neither.
But a few episodes ago, I talked about this new musical on Broadway.
Okay.
Named after Alexander Hamilton.
Oh, okay. Yes,
you remember?
Yes, I do.
Yes. Well, given this week or last weekend's big movie release,
oh, no.
Someone has redone the overture of that musical.
Uh-huh.
And has renamed it Bat-Lexander Manleton.
Oh no.
And the video is on YouTube. I have a link. excuse me. Wait. Okay, there she is. There she is. It's on YouTube. It's gone viral. The link in the show notes is through the Nerdist.
Okay.
Again, just check it out.
All right.
Although I would say listen to the original overture first. That way you can appreciate the parody.
Okay.
So there you go.
Right on. Brandon, what is coming up on Finding Christ in Cinema?
What is coming up?
I don't know.
Because we've got some pokers in the fire that we need to pull out.
Yes.
Some irons, if you will. Which I guess we can go ahead and finish up the trilogy.
What trilogy?
We just started today, the Indiana Jones.
It's a trilogy?
It's a trilogy.
Oh, okay. So coming up next?
Coming up next. But, the, you know, in no particular order, you know, it just so
things
happens
happen.
that the Revenant is out. So what are you looking
at? No,
it's
not out, but we got an Academy preview.
Oh, well, on Google Play, it was already streaming, I think.
Oh, okay, good.
I think I don't know. Let me double check on that. But it'll be coming out soon. You know what else will be coming out soon? Star Wars.
Oh, yes. Thank you, Lord.
La, 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 la. la 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 la.
So, and more John Williams.
Hey. Hey.
So where are we going next week?
Next week, we might as well just go and do Temple of Doom.
Let's do it.
Yes, sir.
With short stack, short round stack.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. And ripping hearts out of chests. And then we'll see what happens after that.
Yeah.
There's no telling. But we do know it'll happen right here on Finding Christ in Cinema. We're live in the studio each Thursday, Lord willing, at around 4 p.m. Eastern Time. Join us for live video and especially chat using the chat room and video player at gctnetwork.com/live. Finding Christ in Cinema is part of the Great Commission Transmission Network, a listener-supported ministry using new media and social networking to equip and encourage you to go into all the world and proclaim the good news to everyone. To find out more and to partner with us, visit us at gctnetwork.com/donate now.
Witness the firepower of this fully armed and operational
digital ministry, including all 96 episodes of Finding Christ in Cinema, Brendan's Monday movie review,
which will return because of Batman vs. Superman,
and links to our social media profiles. Visit our website at christincinema.com. I said donuts, didn't I?
I
said donuts. You can send us email to fcc@gctnetwork.com.
You can call us up on the voice line at 507-407-4286.
You gotta keep regular if you want to be happy.
Thank you, Scatman. Or if you know in your family heritage you have the lowly country folk, or you have the fairly tookish side, and that tookish side can make you act like a fool sometimes.
That's shocking.
You're not full of a took, Michael. Full of a took.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
Full of a took.
Oh, do I have that?
You should.
I have it? Where is it?
It's full of a took.
I don't know where it is.
Okay, here's my Ian McKellen impression. Full of a took.
That's great.
There you go. If you're feeling a little tookish.
Yes.
Full of a took.
Please use our other voice line at 507-407-4286.
Cotton-headed ninny muggins.
Thank you. Now, let's say you just want to listen to the good old podcast.
I do.
Like you're doing right now.
I am.
But you want to go to iTunes.
Uh-huh.
You want to go to Stitcher. You want to go to TuneIn Radio for Finding Christ in Cinema. That's only if you like falafel.
Well, wait, how many is that, though?
That's three.
Have you ever heard of Plato, Aristotle, Socrates?
Yes.
Moron.
No, not those three wombats. No way.
And what did you say about falafel?
Well, I don't like falafel.
No, I do. What did you say about it?
Or duct tape.
Oh, duct tape. I like that.
It's only if the air gets to it.
Oh, no.
The air got to it.
Just go to them all and search them all for Finding Christ in Cinema.
It's a madhouse! A madhouse!
And for all the shows that we produce here at the Great Commission Transmission Network, including our brothers in Texas,
The Theonauts!
And The Worship Show, get over to our official website at gctnetwork.com. Mr. Brendan Taylor, anything else?
It was tied to an anvil.
No.
Laugh it up, fuzzball.
And that is a wrap.
It's a trap. Never tell me the odds.
One does not simply walk into Mordor.
I told you he was tricksy.
Fool of a took. Huh? Fool of a took. Huh? Fool of a took. Huh? Fool of a took.
You are tuned in to the GCT Network.
Is your Great Commission transmission
at gctnetwork.com. I know, it's amazing that it's in color, isn't it?
I know, right? what are these things called? Talkies?
You know, I've told you that my kids, when they were little and first were getting their bicycles and stuff, they asked me if they had bikes when I was a kid. Yeah, thanks, kids. They already beat you to the punch on the ageism.
That's fun. Well, that's where I got it from.
Yeah.
You know, I see your kids doing that. I'm like, oh, he must be cool with it.
You ready?
This is your Great Commission transmission.
Batman Lego, Batman trailers. Times two. That's two times trailers.
Yeah.
All right, here we go.
In 1 week.